Well, we've studied a lot on the prophecies, and we've lost sight these last few weeks of the life of Daniel. And I'm looking forward to meeting him in heaven and thanking him for his obedience. And he says, well, it was easy. Look who I was obeying. I wish we all had that same attitude. Well, let's ask the Lord to help us on this last lesson. And Lord, I just give you all the praise for how you've taught us this year. It's your word, not ours, not some commentary, but it's all yours. And I'm grateful for what you did with the life of Daniel. And we've been so blessed by it. Yet we all can be Daniels. Help us to see that today, that we might become your prophets here on earth, sharing the gospel with others. Help us, Lord, to understand this last time, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing is that Daniel believed in a sovereign God. And I have thought about this a lot. I think this is where most of us break down or miss it or skip it or figure it's not important. Well, what does sovereignty mean? It's supremacy and rule. That hit us right about the time of the election. Wasn't that interesting? It put it back where it belonged, in God's hands. So supremacy and power of authority, the chief, the highest. But see, there's where our problem comes in, because who likes to be in control? We like to be in control. So we get into a lot of trouble with that. But when we look at Daniel's life, his parents were gone. They may have been massacred in front of his eyes, for all we know. The soldiers had broken down the walls of Jerusalem, and now they were dismantling the temple. And there was Daniel, a young man, very young man, and all the other young men watching all of this going on. Then all the valuables were taken from the temple. We picked that up with the next king after Nebuchadnezzar, what they were doing with them. He was partying, and he had a problem with that, didn't live long. And anyway, then he had that 900-mile walk, and I thought, that's a hike, not a walk. Then he was taken to prison in Babylon and castration. And I thought of all the things that happened to Daniel, and I thought, he wasn't an angry person. He didn't get mad at his people, these people that had imprisoned him. They changed his name. They changed his language. He was now under a Gentile rule. And when I was thinking about that, you know, the Israelis had been under a Gentile rule now since this event, since Nebuchadnezzar, till 1948. And when they finally got a little square piece of land back that they call Israel. But was Daniel angry? No. No marriage, no wife, not much to look forward to. And a Gentile king that didn't understand anything that Daniel was representing. How would you and I take that? We'd probably get mad. We probably would say, God, why didn't you stop this? But see, Daniel knew the word to know that after King Manasseh, the country really went into idolatry, and he knew that they were being punished at this point because they had done this. Not only that, they had forgotten all the Sabbaths, and God was going to collect on that. It was a good thing God was just going to collect on that, because I would have collected on a lot of other things. And but just one thing, 70 years. So the basic truths that are found in the book of Daniel is probably the most important one, is the Most High rules in the kingdom of man. Doesn't that give you comfort? What's going on in North Korea and so on? That does give us comfort. And unfortunately, our country too. The interesting thing for this for Daniel is that he thought, Nebuchadnezzar thought, that the Babylonians were in charge. You know, we're ruling the world. And but Daniel knew better. He knew who was ruling the world. Even though they changed his name and his education, they tried to change everything about him, even his theology, but they couldn't touch it. That's something in here that nobody can touch. So we got kind of lost in all of his prophecies, but that was interesting too. What kind of a life did he live? Knowing God's future plans. And every time he learned more of his future plans, he got sick until the last one. And then we could see how positive things were going to work out for the Jewish people. It's interesting how we have a choice to make when hard things happen. And there's a verse in 1 John 3:2-3. It says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself." How are you doing with purification? Are you conscious of turning away from evil, from hard things, and looking to the Lord? Your focus is everything. Remember Joseph. Both Daniel and Joseph are kind of two of a kind. They both were called by God to serve him in difficult places, in the middle of authority, in pagan empires. Both were cruelly taken away from their homes and handed over to Gentile masters. They both had tough futures. Both went through periods of testing. Both were lied about. Both were falsely accused. However, both maintained a godly conduct. Can you say that today? No matter who pulls out the rug from under you, can you maintain a godly disposition? Something to work on, isn't it? But because of that, they both became respected leaders in each of the nations. One was Egypt, of course, and the other was Babylon. They were able to minister to God's people even though their days were difficult. It's kind of learning to live outside of your comfort zone, outside of your comfort zone, and learning to get involved with people's lives and to be encouragements to them. When was the last time you encouraged someone maybe in your family or perhaps a neighbor? It's something to look to. I've got a nice little ministry going now where I have get dialyzed every week. And I'm praying with people and meeting with people. And you know, the time goes pretty quick. What's 3.5 hours, you know? Anyway, Daniel gave the Jews encouragement. I think that was beautiful. Because there would come a time when they would be released from where they were held captive. Of course, it took 70 years. And just think about how old Daniel must have been by the time they were released. He's quite a guy. So Daniel had a disciplined prayer life. This is where I wish I had spent more time, another lesson on it, because he prayed 3 times a day, and as were custom back in Jerusalem, he would have been praying at 9 in the morning, at noon in the middle of the day, and 3 late afternoon. But of course he was submissive to the king, and if the king had something else for him to do, then he would work his prayer schedule around that. He just didn't say, well, I'm too busy today, Lord, I can't pray with you, I'm working for the king. No. He put that time aside. I remember when I went back to school, and I still had 6 kids at home, and I would get up and, I don't know what you think of this, and I would deal frozen bread and make out the lunches, put out the cereal and all that sort of thing, and then take off. But before that ever took place, I had to meet with the Lord in a prayer time. That was very early morning, because fortunately the school was in San Francisco at that time, but still, the traffic was unbelievable on the bridge, so you had to get up early. And something I read this week is that those who pray 3 times a day are more likely to pray without ceasing. Well, that was an interesting concept, too. I hadn't thought about that. But see, Daniel also prayed with his friends. So he was basically praying most of the time. He depended on it. Some people even pray when everything else has failed. You're not one of those, though. No. Some pray only when it becomes desperate. No, you're not one of those. Every aspect of Daniel's prayer life and service was dependent totally on God of heaven. He didn't sit around in his pity pot and decide all these horrible things had happened to him, so why should he bother? No. He wasn't that type of guy. He knew that the Lord was sovereign over all things. If you begin to see that, it'll help you a lot, because so often the enemy wants us to focus on what's wrong rather than what's right. And we have everything in the Lord. Our next venture, if you know Christ, will be to meet him personally. So what do you have to worry about? There isn't anything. So I may beat most of you there, and but that's okay. I got a few friends now on the other side, so but he's sovereign over all things. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He also prayed with his friends. Don't ever forget to do that. You can pray on the moment, on the occasion. Remember, Jesus never taught his disciples to preach. He only taught them to pray. That should put our emphasis on prayer, period. Taught them how to pray. Well, we've got that in Scripture. But remember, prayer and the Word of God go together. And we try to encourage our leaders to come to leaders meeting with their prayer requests, the Word of God backing it up. That is so important, because what it does is it shifts you from looking at yourself and how am I going to work this through, to looking at the Word of God, and this is how God is going to work it through, because this is what his Word says. Try that. And if you're not familiar with it, this will be something new for you to do, be challenged by. And you can ask for wisdom of seeing something through. We're really back to my old adage is, trust and obey. There's no other way. That song, way back 100 years ago, kept my life going in the right direction. It was so important to learn to trust the Word of God, learn to trust the Lord that represents everything. We don't, as I say, so many don't get on their knees until it's a desperate situation. Don't be like that. Every aspect of Daniel's life and service depended totally on the God of heaven, who is sovereign over all things. But surrendering to God's will is a big step towards freedom. If you feel all tied up or all hung up, it's because you might want to relook at your surrender to God's will. But you can yield to Him with great confidence because He's our Father. And He loves us too much to harm us. And He's too wise to make a mistake. And I'm sure all of us have gone through that. I think you made a mistake here, Lord. No. I had a terrible father. So why should I trust you as my father? And see, where's our focus? It's all on the wrong thing. But God can't fail us. And He's going to take us home. And that next hug you'll experience will be from the Lord Himself. I just can hardly wait. Well, Daniel's friends needed to know Nebuchadnezzar's dream and understand it. They gave themselves to prayer. And when the Lord gave them the answer, they prayed together and thanked Him. And we do that here with leaders. After Bible study, we go and praise the Lord. It's not a time for requests. It's a time to praise and thank Him. And He's been so good to us this year. He's really taught all of us. I think like every week I learn something new. And I'm grateful for that. But be sure to go back and thank Him. Praise is a tremendous power. And Daniel not only depended on prayer, but his praise was right there. Today, so many churches have canceled Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. And others, they only pray when it's a necessity. And I think, what a tragedy. Remember, it's everything. It's so important. Then Daniel studied the Word of God, and he believed it. You know, we're not just here studying the Bible study. We're here so that we can believe it and that it can change our lives. He didn't study it to impress people. He believed it. He wanted to know the will of God and obey it. That's so much is all tied together here on that little list I gave you. And surrendering to God's will is the first step towards freedom. And then we can yield ourselves to Him in great confidence. We could see that with Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. He had quite a few, as I remember. And then the next thing, Daniel had an understanding of spiritual warfare. I kept thinking about this. How would Daniel know about spiritual warfare? Well, he had probably the Pentateuch, and he had Jeremiah, for sure, and probably parts of Isaiah. When they moved from Jerusalem to Babylon. So he had quite a bit to study. And he could see it in the country he lived in. Of course, we can't see that today, right? You can sure see the warfare going on. Oftentimes we don't see it because it's aimed where? At us. And when somebody comes along and says, well, that's the enemy. That's the enemy pulling the rug out from under you. And we're able then to put on our whole armor of God. And of course, you remember where that is. Those that have been with me forever. Ephesians 6. Yes. And study that. Know it. Chew it up. Digest it. We can ask God to seek and tear down the strongholds that block God's words to us. That happens so easy. And in 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6, there's quite a few verses there. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. So if you find yourself arguing with somebody today and you think, what's going on here? You're not arguing with them. The enemy has got you down where he wants you. And so you have to ask the Lord to pull down those strongholds, casting down arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you must learn to do that with your thinking. Because the enemy wants you to be in the past. Why? Because Jesus is not the great I was. He's the great I am. And he's going to meet you today. So if the enemy's got you in the past, he's got you right where he wants you. So get rid of that. Work on cleaning up this. And so often we rehearse something and rehearse it and rehearse it until it's part of us. And the Lord says, don't do that. So then you go in bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your deliverance obedience is fulfilled. Go for it. It's exciting. You don't have to change anybody around you. I find it full-time effort to work on myself. So, then Daniel was a great man in the kingdom, but he used his gifts and abilities and opportunities to honor God and minister to others. True humility isn't putting yourself down. It's not thinking of yourself at all. Try it. It changes things. I'm getting to enjoy the dialysis place because there's a whole ministry there. So, the sixth thing I have down for you is Daniel realized he had work to do. And I put down for that, there was no retirement for him. So I'm getting to be kind of decrepit up here and falling apart, but you guys are good and faithful. And I just figure there's no retirement until I meet the Lord. And so hopefully it won't be here or the podium. So. But know that I'm very happy if it is, so. Daniel didn't complain about his lot in life. You know, what a challenge that is. Oh, poor me here and poor me there. But he tried with God's help, and he tried to make the best of every situation he found himself in. He did his work well, and even his enemies couldn't find anything to criticize him about. Remember that? They were looking for something to criticize Daniel, so they set up this weird law that all you could do was pray to the king. And, of course, they knew Daniel wouldn't do that. So they went and watched him pray out his window towards Jerusalem and caught him red-handed. And I think, yeah, what a way to get caught red-handed in prayer. So he may have even influenced Cyrus, who finally allowed the Jews to go back home. I think, and if we study this next year, then we'll see that Cyrus was definitely a believer and came to faith. And I think Daniel probably had a strong influence on him. And you got a strong influence going on with anybody in your life right now? So, but one thing that really struck me with Daniel's life is that he was tactful and considerate. Did you catch that? Sometimes we're just so anxious for somebody to come to Christ, we blub it all out on them, and they haven't got a clue what you're talking about. So be considerate and tactful. Remember when Daniel and his friends wanted to eat clean food that hadn't been dedicated to idols, they didn't stage a hunger strike or argue with those in charge, which I would have done. He tactfully asked if they could be tested for 10 days, knowing that the Lord would make that test successful. Just think about that. They didn't try to force it on anyone. They were very tactful. This man Daniel is something else, isn't he? Of course, he didn't agree with their lifestyle or the people in charge, but even he couldn't disrespect them. And there's a principle here that's so important because I had to learn this. My parents were divorced. My mother became an alcoholic. And I told the Lord, I can't respect what they've done. The Lord taught me, you respect their position, and that will take care of the rest of it. See, so often we want to change them, or we want to be angry with them, or we want to say, well, I don't do that anymore, you know. I'm pretty good. Oh, poor. Not good. Never develop a holier-than-thou attitude with anyone. We don't know anything. The more I study the scriptures, the less I know. How you doing? So you don't ever want to have a holier-than-thou attitude. It's rather sickening. So he had Daniel had insight into human history. Did you notice that? And I think that's why God allowed him to live so long, is that he understood so much, especially through his visions. God taught Daniel that the nations of the world were like animals. Had you ever thought about that? You know, what kind? Lions and bears and leopards, rams and goats. Then Nebuchadnezzar's pride got him into a lot of trouble. He became an animal, and we're still wondering what kind of an animal that was. And it was for a very long time. And Daniel had no illusions about the future, about future nations. And you and I need to develop that same kind of attitude. Know that you pick up the newspaper or you hear the news and you say, oh, everything's terrible. No, it isn't. God is really in charge, and he's going to bring it all to pass. And we can know that God's going to save those Jews. And it's going to be a tough time ahead, especially if you read Revelation. And then the last thing is Daniel lived up to his name. His name. His name means God is my judge. Do you know what your name means? My name means oath of God. That's kind of scary. So you see how much I have to work on. So Daniel lived up to his name, God is my judge. He lived to please God. So God could look at his life and never point anything out that was out of line. You know, I think, oh, boy, I got a lot to work on. So he lived to please God. And his life and his reputation were in the hands of the Lord. So important to make sure your reputation's there. His will is always best. I may not understand it, and he may bring us through some very hard things. But can you see, is it any wonder that the Lord greatly loved Daniel? It's amazing. So now I'd like you to take that little piece of paper, and I just realized you could see what I was holding, because I've underlined what I need to work on. You may be back at the beginning. Daniel believed in a sovereign God. Then he had a disciplined life, prayer life. He studied the Word of God and believed it. It wasn't just to show other people how smart he was. He understood spiritual warfare. And now you found a couple of sections in Scripture. Besides Ephesians 6, you can get to 2 Corinthians 10, and you've got more verses on it. And then he sought only to glorify God. That's a big thing, I think. And then he realized he had work to do, that there wasn't any retirement. And then he realized he was so tactful and considerate of others. That really impresses me. That's just so, once you start putting others ahead of yourself, it becomes pretty easy to do. He had insight into human history. It's a God thing. God's in charge. Not to fear, not to worry. And he knows the end from the beginning. Besides, we've studied the last book of Revelation, so, and Daniel. And then he lived up to his name. If you don't know what your name means, then I would say, be curious and find out. And then spiritualize it. And I have a new great-grandchild that's been named after me, and that's kind of scary, too. Fortunately, she lives in Indonesia and doesn't know me personally. No, but my grandson does. So there we have the life of Daniel summed up. I wanted to encourage you with that. If anyone here today doesn't know the Lord, please, or stuck someplace, please see me afterwards. I'll be glad to help you through it.